Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go back.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour deep space shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Cleveland to Concord, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Pleased to have you along with us for the ride today. On a Friday, we do it all. It is a target demo Friday, meaning we want to hear what you're doing as you listen to the show and where you're at as you listen to the show and how you are listening to the show. Tweet at us, DA on CBS, or post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I'll read through those coming up in the final segment of the show. Also on a Friday, I count down my five favorite college football games of the weekend and tell you why you should watch. Tasty Top 5 coming up in hour number two. Mraz gives us his NFL picks for the weekend. He's been a very successful picker this season. He's above 500, so you're making money with one, Mraz.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
He also has his football food of the week that also comes up in hour number two. We've got this morning, Carmelo Anthony. Can he add anything to the Portland Trailblazers? And we also have Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox to discuss the absurdity, the grotesque nature, the ridiculousness of everything that happened last night in Cleveland. Charles will join us in hour number three. I'll just say right now, you want to talk about Steelers-Browns? Let's talk Steelers-Browns, because we could do an easy 3 hours on Cleveland-Browns-Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday night last night. We could easily do more than 3 hours, and I know you guys have some thoughts on this. And so, questions, comments, concerns, complaints, opinions on last night and what we witnessed. All of it. There is so much to last night's game. Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Well, where to begin? Where to begin? The Browns get the win but feel like they lost. The Browns have their best defensive player ejected from last night's game, facing certain suspension. The Browns lift themselves into a precarious but at least somewhat legitimate playoff position with a soft back end of the schedule. Mason Rudolph looks like absolute dog food. The Pittsburgh Steelers lose Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner on this night. And everything happened last night. Let's, of course, begin with Myles Garrett. Should the NFL suspend Myles Garrett, not for the rest of this season, which is six more games for the Browns, but for a full season, which would mean 10 more next year, it is where we begin your cold open.
And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogunjobi in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. And getting in there was Myles Garrett, and Garrett took the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and flung it. And then David DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey came in, and they started really laying it in. So it was Myles Garrett who took the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and slammed him on the top of the head, Doug.
Oh, boy. Myles is going to get one, too. He's going to be suspended.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no other way around it. He's going to own up to it. He's going to handle it. And this locker room is going to have to come together because this is going to be a soap opera on the outside, much like the media has portrayed us to be from the whole season. So we have to be a disciplined team. We have to address it. We have to handle it. We have to come together, and we have to play football.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Browns radio on the call. Baker Mayfield after the game. Number one, it is a non-starter. Myles Garrett needs to be suspended for the rest of the season. It is a non-starter. The NFL is beyond fortunate at the outcome of this event. Beyond fortunate. It is the ugliest event in recent NFL memory. It is one of the ugliest events in NFL history. 100 years of the NFL. Rare have we ever seen something as dangerous, violent, and grotesque as a guy swinging a helmet at another player and his unhelmeted head. Had Myles Garrett connected with that helmet in the temple, the top of the head, there is no telling what damage could have been done. It could have knocked Mason Rudolph unconscious. Remember, Rudolph is already coming off a scary concussion a couple of weeks ago. Worst case scenario, Myles Garrett kills him. That's worst case scenario, hits him in the temple, brain shuts off, drops to the ground, and you've killed a man on national TV. The NFL is so beyond fortunate that Mason Rudolph was not injured more seriously. So, is Myles Garrett in a CTE era, in a game that happened on national TV, to an audience that is more and more queasy with the effects of long-term brain trauma? Do you have to suspend him for the rest of the season? There is no doubt Myles Garrett's not coming back to play this year. There is no doubt. The question is, does the NFL say six games is enough? And I think the NFL is going to suspend him for the rest of the season, and I think that's right. And I think the NFL needs to decide in the offseason whether this is even longer. Now, maybe they hand him a 16-game penalty, a 16-game suspension right now, and say six this year, and we'll reassess in the offseason. You can appeal for the next 10 that goes into next year. But there is absolutely no way Myles Garrett can play again this season. No way. And for Myles Garrett, you have just tarnished your reputation forever. Myles Garrett was the number one pick in the NFL draft. Myles Garrett is developing into one of the most dangerous, part of the phrase there, pass rushers in the game. Myles Garrett is a guy known for writing poetry and painting artwork in his spare time. A very thoughtful, introspective guy. And for a moment, he completely lost his mind. And it's not the first time he's had some real discipline issues this season. So Garrett's got to be done the rest of the year, and I think he should be done even longer than that going into next season. To me, it's a minimum 8-game suspension, so that means 2 games next year. The winners of this, if there are a winner, if there is any winners, Baker Mayfield. Because we thought that Baker Mayfield was this childish, immature, pouty, bad leader, and He was a guy after the game that said all of the right things. He was a guy after the game that called out his teammate, said it was unacceptable, said it made a win feel like a loss, which it did. And I have to say, Baker Mayfield, that's the best moment he's had in the NFL. That is the most mature we have seen Baker Mayfield in his entire football career. It was actually a good moment, at least for Mayfield, to show he's got some reason, he's got some logic, he's got some leadership, he's got some maturity. As for the Browns themselves, Freddie Kitchens oversees the single least disciplined team in the NFL week in, week out. Because even had that not happened, Myles Garrett, Demaryius Randle should also get suspended and certainly fined for a clear helmet-to-helmet hit that knocks out a Steelers wide receiver and leaves him with blood coming out of his ear. An unbelievably dirty play where Demaryius Randle is jumping up and down. How could you kick me out of the game? How can they kick you out? It was a helmet-to-helmet hit at full speed, and the guy has blood coming out of his ear, you dolt, you idiot, you moron. And this is the Browns. The Browns were headhunting last night. The Browns were absolutely headhunting, and then it culminates in Myles Garrett doing the unthinkable. Freddie Kitchens. This is not a team that normally has its emotions in check, that normally plays a smart game. This would absolutely never happen on the New England Patriots. Never. There is no way, shape, or form anybody is losing their cool so badly that they take off a helmet and swing it at one another. There is no way a well-coached team continues to melt down even in wins. Freddie Kitchens oversees this entire organization's lack of discipline every single week. And I'm not saying Kitchens is partially responsible for a helmet going into Mason Rudolph's head, but all season long, the Browns have skated on being a terribly disciplined, out of control, overly emotional team. Kitchens is the face of that. On the Steelers, Mason Rudolph was disgusting last night. I mean, absolutely disgusting. And it's hard to say because you feel sympathetic for a guy that took a helmet to the face, but he lost that game. I mean, I know that Juju went out. I know that Connor went out. But Rudolph was beyond bad. Had Mason Rudolph not been hit with a helmet, I would have said, you take the Greyhound bus home back to Pittsburgh. Because Mason Rudolph was so egregiously terrible on a night where the Steelers defense played its guts out to keep that a game. It was 14-0, and it looked like the Browns could get away and win easily. And instead, the Steelers defense came up with play after play after play, keeping that a game. And Rudolph kept doing nothing with it. Closing his eyes, chucking it 30 yards downfield, and hoping for a flag. He was beyond ugly. That was not NFL quarterbacking. That was Nathan Peterman-esque. I don't know how you can afford to go forward with Mason Rudolph. I don't know. I mean, I know Devlin Hodges is terrible as well, but you are a team fighting for your playoff lives, and your quarterback looked like a JV scout team disaster of a signal caller last night. Again, hard to say because Rudolph ends up looking like the victim here, but my God, was that one of the worst quarterback NFL games I have seen in a long time, and that's saying something. And of course, only the Browns could turn a win, which pushes them a little bit closer to playoff competition, into what feels like a loss. Everybody downtrodden and sullen after the game. This season couldn't get more Brownsy, and every week it seems to do exactly that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll get to all of your thoughts on last night's debacle, last night's absurdity, last night's ridiculousness at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also coming up here next, Carmelo's back. Can he bring anything to a Blazers team sinking right now? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Something, get it out.
Get him 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 out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Submit your question. Be listening later on to the show. We'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And as always, the DA show is available in podcast form. If you miss anything or want to hear it again, you've got full podcasts that's available on iTunes, on radio.com, at cbssportsradio.com. Full episodes available there. So get your podcast on. It's DA on demand. Daniel tweets in, DA, you got to mention also your awful assessment of the game last night. Lost in everything is the Browns got a solid win, complete opposite of your prediction. Absolutely right. I thought that the Steelers' defense was going to discombobulate a poorly coached, misshapen Browns offense, and that the way the Steelers' momentum defensively had carried them the last couple of weeks would be able to last night hold the Browns at bay. At times they did. After 14-0, the Steelers' defense was great, and the Browns looked lost, and the Browns looked like the Browns. What I didn't factor in was how atrocious Mason Rudolph was. What I could not have predicted was Rudolph, who at times had looked serviceable this year, would turn into an absolute puddle. But you're right. The Browns offensively found ways to move the football on the Steelers. Oftentimes, I mean, that last touchdown, they were put in no man's land. It's basically a pick six because Mason Rudolph throws it directly into a linebacker's chest inside his own 20-yard line. But the Steelers' offense was so dreadful, there was no way that unless the Steelers' defense pitched a shutout, there was anything that could have happened. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. Anthony's next up in Baltimore, listening on 1300 of CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Anthony?
Oh, nothing. Enjoying another beautiful day in Maryland.
All right, very good. Going? Very good. I'm good, man. What's going on?
Well, I'm just saying, how is that the most outrageous thing you've seen in football when Lyle Alzalo used to do it all the time? Howie Long has done it, took the helmet off, threw it at a guy. Number 69, this is back when I was a child, I think his name was Bruce Collin, for the San Francisco 49ers, took the helmet off and swung at a guy. So why does this guy need to get, you know, 8-9-game suspension?
All right, well,
the worst thing that's ever happened, and it's not.
Well, you cited three examples that all happened in the early 80s or prior. That's 35 years ago. I mean, that's a really
Absolutely.
Long time ago. And as you know, the game has changed. Punishment has changed. And we haven't seen something like this in more than 30 years. So if you'd prefer me say it's one of the ugliest or the ugliest thing to happen in 30 years, okay, I'll correct it to that.
No, I was just saying that, you know, it just seems I'm trying to figure out what the determining factor which makes him doing it so bad and other gentlemen who were great guys.
Well, wait a second. Anthony, let's go back to Lyle Alzado's reputation. The guy was known as one of the craziest, loosest cannons, dirtiest players of the NFL, a guy that at the time was considered dirty and a renegade. That was at a time where everything was far more legal. If Lyle Alzado played today and did the things that he did, he'd barely get on the field. He'd be suspended for every single game. So how can you use Lyle Alzado as an example of Myles Garrett shouldn't be suspended?
Well, I guess I'm old school, And I guess I think, you know, like the American male, a lot of things have become soft and effeminate.
Well, don't you think that's
the worst that's ever happened?
Don't you think that that's ultimately
body slammed the Bears quarterback in '85?
For the Packers.
I
believe his name was Charles Martin, slamming Jim McMahon. Dude, Anthony, with all due respect that it sounds like you're a football fan from way back when, you can't compare something that happened in 1986 or 1978 to what happens in 2019 and say it's because we became effeminate as males. I mean, this last night was a crazy, violent thing that happened, and life has changed, society has changed, but also imagine what happens if Mason Rudolph is seriously injured there.
Oh, yeah, he could have killed him. That was terrible. I'm not saying it was great. I'm just saying it wasn't the worst ever. never happened before.
Yeah, but okay. But on the one hand, you're saying it could have killed a man on the football field. On the other hand, you're saying it's not that bad.
It's a violent game. I guess what I'm saying
is people don't die.
It's just that, you know, I just don't think it was the worst thing ever. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
I listened to the radio all this morning, and everybody's saying, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And it's not. This happened more, of course, 35, 40 years ago, absolutely.
Okay.
But it's not the worst that's ever happened. That's all I want to say.
Okay, so we're saying that it's the worst thing that happened in 35 years. Is that fair?
I guess we disagree.
Well,
all right, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Bring me another example of something over the last 35 years that's more violent than that.
I can't think offhand. I can call back. Let me think
right.
a little bit.
All right, yeah, dial me up. Let me know. I mean, the fact is, I don't really see how you can read that situation and not consider it unreasonably dangerous in what we know now and how we handle things like this now. And look, the fact is, do I love the NFL from the 70s and 80s? Of course I do. I also am a realist. I recognize it's different. And I also recognize that if you are using a heavy helmet as a swinging malice, as a weapon, and you connect with the bare head of somebody in the temple, or you hit him the wrong way, the guy could die. I mean, and to me, that's not being overly reactionary. That is simply the reality. And you gotta handle it as such. Carmelo Anthony signs a deal with the Portland Trail Blazers, and part of this is simply that the Blazers are so bad and underwhelming this year. And what ends up happening is a team that is desperate looks for any and all desperate attempts to make themselves better. As you would note, this is not a winning team. This is not a team that has its ducks in a row. This is an organization that is right now surprisingly, shockingly bad at 4-8. They were an NBA Finals contender coming into the season. They had a great, bright future. Damian Lillard is an MVP candidate every year that he plays, certainly coming into this season. And they are the third worst team of the Western Conference and one of the worst teams in basketball. Do I think Carmelo Anthony has anything left? Kind of depends. I think last year with the Rockets, at the very end, especially his last game, it was uglier than the body of his work in Houston. And I think the problem with Carmelo has not been his production. It's been his resistance to handling certain roles, specifically coming off the bench. And I think that last year with the Rockets, a lot of that had to do with the wins and losses of the Rockets and them saying, this is not working for us as a team, so he's got to go. And then Carmelo saying, well, I'm not going to be a backup. And the whole thing kind of getting away from Carmelo. Can he be productive for a Portland team that could use some offense? Yeah. Yes, I think he could. He needs to accept his role. He needs to accept not being the man. Maybe a year out of basketball almost does that. If you expect him to drop 20 a night, that's not going to happen. But can he be a 13 or 14 point per game guy? He can. And I think because of that, the Blazers being desperate say, we need something here. I think the other thing is that Carmelo Anthony is dangerously now treading in the Tracy McGrady territory of playing for a bunch of random teams at the end of his career. That year by year, he keeps playing for weirder and weirder teams, and he looks weirder and weirder in those jerseys. Carmelo had a Oklahoma City stint and a Houston stint and now a Portland stint, those are all going to be like Jerry Rice on the Seahawks jerseys. Those are all going to be like Emmett Smith on the Cardinals jerseys. Those are all going to be like Olajuwon on the Raptors jerseys. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, let's hear from Mike Tomlin when he addresses the Myles Garrett situation, or not addresses. We'll taking your phone calls on the matter as well, as last night devolves into a pretty ugly affair between the Browns and the Steelers. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Yeah, be here all day, big boy. Come on, bring it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Friday to you. Coming up this weekend, it's a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly on the DA show. Our spinoffs from the DA show. You've got the Pork Store coming up Saturday, 2 a.m. Eastern Time with Mraz, breaking down things from Saturday's college football, then into John Kincaid, and then Sunday morning football. I'll join you at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio for Sunday morning football. The great Eddie George is our guest, Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer, and a guy with over 10,000 NFL yards on the ground. Eddie George, our guest on Sunday morning football this weekend. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Joel tweets, everyone seems to forget Mason Rudolph suffered one of the worst on-field concussions I have ever seen in the past few years. He literally was fully knocked out for over 2 minutes. Hitting him in the head with a hard, blunt object seems criminal. Garrett needs anger management. I'm not going to go so as far as to say that Myles Garrett needs to be charged with assault, although I've seen some people say that. And there is a example of that happening, the Todd Bertuzzi hit in 2004 in the hockey world, where he was charged criminally. I'm not going that far, but I am saying that is one of the ugliest, one of the most violent acts on the football field that we've ever seen, certainly over the last three decades. And Mason Rudolph, it's absolutely right. Just a few weeks ago, this is a guy that was out on his feet. They had to saw off the face mask of his helmet as he is brought off of the field, looking like he had no idea where he was in a very scary moment. Same guy. Just got clocked with a helmet on his bare head. Jerome's next up, Myrtle Beach, listening on 100.3 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
All right. I just want to chime in on that last night. Now,
yes, sir.
Mason Rudolph, he instigated everything that happened because first he tried to pull this guy's helmet off.
Yeah.
Secondly, after he gets up, he knows he don't have a helmet on. But then he goes back after this guy again. Now, there's three Pittsburgh players around him. This guy is really fighting for his life. And if I'm fighting for my life, a helmet to the head is simple to me. This guy knows. Now, Mason Rudolph is going to get away with this scot-free. He instigated every bit. If he had walked away when he knew his helmet was off, he would have never got caught with that helmet.
So I just want to clarify, you're blaming Mason Rudolph for Myles Garrett's actions.
I damn sure, yes, sir, I am.
And so you don't think that Myles Garrett deserves any responsibility here?
I just think he deserves 75% of the responsibility. Yes, I do.
Okay, 75%. So 25% Mason Rudolph, 75% Myles Garrett.
Yes, I do. If Mason Rudolph would have walked away from this, you know he didn't have a helmet on.
Okay, but that's only 25% of the equation is what you're saying.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, and so you think that Myles Garrett deserves to be punished as well?
I definitely do, yes, I do.
Okay, all right. I think that's reasonable. I thought it was going to be 100% on Mason Rudolph, in which case I was going to vehemently disagree. But look, Mason Rudolph absolutely gets into the scuffle with Myles Garrett, absolutely says something, absolutely goes after Garrett without his helmet, and puts himself in harm's way. You're right about that. Now, none of that is reason for Myles Garrett to have a helmet in his hand and swing it like a medieval weapon. But, okay, you want to place some of the blame at Mason Rudolph for putting himself in harm's way? I'll listen to that. Paul is next up in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening on radio.com to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing, D.A.? Can you beat me up?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Hey, I've been a Browns fan my whole life. I became a Browns fan young, Bernie Kosar days. And even when the Browns win, like, this is what we get. We get concussions bleeding out of the ears. A Browns player hits somebody with a helmet. It is just so hard to be a Browns fan and just keep going on after watching my team disintegrate for the last 20 years.
You know, Paul, I was thinking the same thing, and it's because one of my really close friends is a Browns fan. He grew up in the Cleveland area, and I've seen his pain. I've known him since 97 or so, so I've seen him over the last 22 years with all of the pain of the Browns. And last night, I follow him on Twitter, and last night he's tweeting, this is supposed to be a win, and now I'm embarrassed for our city. I'm embarrassed for the franchise again. This is a low moment. And I'm thinking to myself, just like you said, Browns fans have been waiting for a winner forever. And now they finally have a team that should be a winner. And they're finding crazy ways to lose. They're totally undisciplined. The head coach seems out to lunch. The organization seems fraying every week. There's always a new controversy. And now, in a nationally televised divisional win in a short week, that has kind of pushed your hopes a little bit higher in the playoff race, now you're dealing with another total embarrassment, a calamity, and people talking about how dirty your best player is or one of your best players. I mean, Myles Garrett was the number one pick in the draft, and he's certainly developed into one of the best young defensive players in football. And it's kind of crazy that the Browns simply cannot figure out the balance between discipline, organization, and playing good football. When they play good football, there's disorganization, there's lack of discipline. When there's discipline, they're 0-16 and they're terrible on the field and no talent. They just can't figure it out, whether it's the coach, the GM, the quarterback, busted draft picks, everything. It's just like this franchise seems cursed. And it was almost like it had to be the Browns that this happened to, because what other organization has dealt with as many black eyes publicly as the Browns have over the last 30 years? There's nothing close. There is nothing close to what the Browns have been over the last 30 years. It's a weekly soap opera. Mike is next up in Boise, listening to 93.1 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So I remember vaguely back, I don't remember, 80s, with Jim McMahon from the Bears. Didn't he body slam somebody?
He was body slammed. I believe the name was Charles Martin. It was a defensive end or a linebacker for the Packers. And after the play was basically over, he comes up from behind Jim McMahon, puts him in like a backwards bear hug, and then body slams him over his shoulder, separates McMahon's shoulder in 86. And that's basically the end of his season. That derails the 85 Bears defense. And it's absolutely one of the dirtiest plays in football. Now that's, what, 33 years ago?
Right. So I haven't heard that reference at all. You know, it was about Lyle Zedo and all this. But, I mean, that was a pretty bad, you know, for me to remember that, you know, I was a kid when that happened.
Absolutely one of the most egregiously dirty plays in sports history was the Charles Martin play. Absolutely. And, I mean, there's an argument that derails the Bears' dynasty. I mean, they had 1-85. McMahon had already become slightly injury-prone at that point in time, but Martin does that, and he's lost for the season. That's when they start Doug Flutie in the 87 playoffs against Washington. They lose that game in 86, rather. And really, McMahon's never back on the field for a full 16 games ever again, and the Bears never go back to a Super Bowl. Let's get to your best audio of the day, boys and girls. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Kristaps Porzingis is a member of the Dallas Mavericks now. This was his first return to Madison Square Garden in New York City last night.
It doesn't really matter, you know. I'm not going to here, like, try to win them over now. You know, it is what it is. I understand where they're coming from, you know. And what happened in the past. It's in the past. I'm with a new team right now, and I just want to win games with my team.
Knicks fans booing Kristaps Porzingis are so lost last night, are beyond lost. You have 20 years of complete dysfunction for your organization. You have an owner that's a vindictive, spiteful moron. You have a general manager and a president that have presided over the worst seasons ever in Knicks history. You have fits and restarts. No free agent wants to sign there. Your drafting has been terrible. And the fans are going to take out their frustration on the one good player that wanted out because the Knicks are such a disgrace. I mean, booing Porzingis is so misguided last night. You should boo with that energy every single night the Knicks take the floor. When they show James Dolan in the sideline seats, the courtside seats, or they show Steve Mills, or they show Scott Perry, or any of those guys, you should take all of that frustration out on them. Porzingis just realized, oh, this is a mess. I don't want to be here. Gardner Minshew thinks that even though Nick Foles is now the starting quarterback, that he's proved enough to get a starting job somewhere else.
I think I proved that I can be a guy in this league for a long, long time. And I think they believe that. And there's obviously things that we're going to get better at so that next time I do get my opportunity, I'll be ready and I'll be better. And we're all going to progress together.
He's right. I mean, last night, if the Pittsburgh Steelers had Gardner Minshew on the field instead of Mason Rudolph, it's a much different game. The Steelers with Gardner Minshew are a dangerous team to get into the playoffs. The Steelers with Mason Rudolph, look at that. And I know that Rudolph has had some moments this year, but he lost Juju and Connor in that game. But he looked like a kid playing against varsity. He was a modified or JV kid, an eighth grader going, oh, what do I do here? Let me just chuck it up. How many times is your game plan close your eyes and throw it as far as you can down the field, Mason? Here's Mike Tomlin when asked about the Myles Garrett incident.
Mike, what was your perspective on what happened at the end?
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end.
You got no comment about it?
That's exactly what I said. I got no comment.
Have you ever seen anything like that at the end of a game?
No more questions regarding that, because I'm saying nothing.
I think that Mike Tomlin's really emotional. He was angry after a loss. We know that he's a guy that's wired and wound tight anyway. I think he was protecting himself from launching into a tirade against Myles Garrett, which might have inflamed everything. That would have poured gasoline on the fire. And I think, kind of smartly, he bit his tongue because it's already going to be a raging wildfire all day today, all day tomorrow, all day next week, and maybe every time the Browns play, because they're not going to have Myles Garrett likely the rest of the season. And I think Tomlin was just trying to keep himself out of the fray. And oh, by the way, these two teams play again in 2 weeks. That's your sound check. Jason tweets, people trying to justify what Miles did because Mason tried to take off his helmet is silly. That's the equivalent of somebody tailgating me, so I tailgate them back, ram their car, which flips their car, potentially killing them, saying, no, they did it first. Mraz, first question. Does Myles Garrett play again this season?
No.
Does the NFL hand down more than a 6-game suspension this week to him?
Yes.
You think it'll pour into next year and they'll have it done in the next 48 hours or so?
I believe they cannot sit around and wait on this thing for too long. I believe at a minimum it should be 10 games.
I think they're going to get him for at least 8. I think it definitely goes into next season. And I don't think it's crazy to think it could be a 16-game suspension, a full season, which would mean 10 games next year, and they allow him to maybe appeal in the offseason.
Yeah, and I don't know how you could be pounding the drum questioning whatever. If it goes more than what you expect, I don't know how you could be the person questioning that it went too long either after what we just saw.
Right. Anything short of it's all of this season and all of next season, I don't think you could say, oh, come on, that's too harsh.
I agree. Completely agree. This is, the guy used the helmet as a weapon. That's it. Let's not try to sugarcoat whose fault it is. Use the helmet as a weapon.
On a guy that didn't have a helmet on.
Yes.
We're going to have Charles Davis join us here on the show coming up in a little over an hour from now as the NFL and Fox analyst. We'll have him pick through the rubble on a really ugly incident. When we come back, is there any responsibility on Freddie Kitchens' plate about last night in the Myles Garrett incident? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.